Good morning.
Good morning.
As always, it is so good to see everyone here. We're very thankful for your presence. In Matthew chapter 16 and in Mark chapter 8, we find Jesus speaking with the apostles, discussing with them the dedication that is required to truly be a disciple of Christ. As we read in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 34, says, "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" We oftentimes focus on this phrase, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we use it correctly in this context to show the value of our soul. When we look at the temporal world and all that there is, as Jesus asks, even if you gain all that this world has to offer, is it worth the value of your soul? And so we use this to encourage people to think about their condition and to think about what they're trading the most valuable thing we have, our soul, for in this world. But I would like for us to look at it from a little bit different perspective. When we look here in Psalm 116, we find that there are blessings for those who serve the Lord. And when you have these blessings, it's not only the value of our souls that is at stake, but we also have all these wonderful things that God has done for us. And, you know, we might ask the question, as the psalmist asks, "What shall I render to the Lord?" Not only should I consider the value of my soul, but I should also consider the value of what God has done for me so that my soul could be redeemed. And so, what shall I render to the Lord for all the benefits that He has given towards me? The question is asked, noting that God has done wonderful things on our behalf, and therefore, what can we do not to repay Him? Because let me begin with, there's no way we could ever repay God for all that He has done. That's not possible. But considering all that God has done for us, what would we do? What can we render to Him to show our appreciation? And so the first thing we want to look at, as we look at these things, is we can see that there are many benefits and blessings that we receive from God. When you look at Psalm 116, this is primarily looking at the Israelites, and it's believed that Psalm 116 had been written after they had returned from being in bondage there with the Babylonians. The Medes and the Persians had released them to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem, and so it seems that these things are referring to that. And we see that the psalmist here, he recognizes that there's certain benefits to being a child of God, a follower, a part of His people. And as you look in verse 2, he says, "Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live." This inclining of the ear is something we find used multiple times throughout the various psalms that we have. If you look back in Psalm 17 in verse 6, he says, "I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech." In Psalm 31, in verse 2, he says, "Incline your ear to me, rescue me quickly." And the idea there is, God, give me your attention. It's kind of like when you have children and they come up to you and they're wanting your attention, and you turn and you face them, and if you're losing hearing in one ear, maybe you turn the good ear to them so that you can make sure that you catch all that is being said. And nowadays, of course, it's turning away from all the distractions that we have and truly focusing on what they have to say. And that's what the psalmist is asking of God, and knowing that God will do, that He will incline His ear to him. As we go on in verse 3, he says, "The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life." It's interesting when you look at this time period that perhaps this psalmist is writing of. You can go and look in the book of Daniel. And Daniel was one who lived through the entirety of the Babylonian captivity. He was among the first that were taken captive and carried over to Babylon. And he was there when the Medes and the Persians came in and allowed them to go back. And when you read the book of Daniel, you see an amazing prayer that he offers that goes along with what we find here of we've been in captivity, we're suffering, and seeking God to release them. And so we find in Psalm 116, this individual is crying out to the Lord. I found distress and sorrow. I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Now, as you go on to verse 8, we see, he says, for you have rescued my soul from death. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered. The Lord provides deliverance from death. He says, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. He says, you've turned my sorrow from into joy, and you've taken me out of the snares and the pitfalls and put me on a clear path. The Israelites received this deliverance from death. They were made whole and returned to the land. And we find him speaking of this and recognizing this blessing that comes from God. But not only that, they had been delivered from death into a really bountiful treatment, to a great situation. In fact, again, you go back and you look in the things that we have recorded in Daniel and other places where Nehemiah, when they were returned, the kings of the Medes and the Persians sent gold and silver with them. They regave them all that had been taken from them by the Babylonians, and then gave them letters that those areas that they were passing through, that they would make donations as well so that they could rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. And so they returned to this land and they received bountiful treatment. As you look there in verse 7 of Psalm 116, he says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. This brings to mind the actions of the father in the parable of the prodigal son, where he goes away and just wastes his inheritance in doing everything he can imagine in this world. And he comes back and he's asking the father, you know, just make me a servant. It'd be great just to be a servant in your household. And the father says, no. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. Bring out and let's celebrate. He deals bountifully with that son. We need never forget the bounties that the Lord has given unto us. And then also, as we read in Psalm 116 and verse 16, he says, O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. This was the first time the Israelites had experienced freedom in many of them, for many of them in their entire lifetime. They had been in captivity for 7 years, some of them for even longer. And they had been removed from their homeland and things had been miserable for them. Remember, it's during this period of time that you have Esther and the story of the desired destruction of all the Jews by Haman. And so they had endured all these things, and he says, we've been freed from bondage. The bondage of slavery had been removed. All doubt and fear had been cut, and they were at liberty to serve the Lord with gladness. And they continue in this. Now, as we look at this, we can see that these are some of the benefits and blessings that they received from God. And they were given to Israel. And now we find these same blessings are given to us today. I hope that we can see the benefits that the psalmist is writing about here are things that we enjoy as well today. The Lord listens to us. Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4, there in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, don't worry about the things that you're going through. Turn those cares and those concerns over to God, and know that he is inclining his ear to you and listening, and therefore the peace of God can wash over you and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we've been studying in our class back in the back, and y'all have been studying it here, about the Holy Spirit, we can see that we're even blessed with the aid of the Holy Spirit to express things that that we really can't. Sometimes you might reach a point where you know something needs to be said, but you don't know how to say it. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, he says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." We have the opportunity to turn to God in prayer, and we know that he is willing to listen to our prayers. In fact, James writes in James chapter 5 and verse 16 that we're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another, knowing that the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much, or can accomplish much. And so the Lord is listening to us as well. We have this blessing, this benefit of being able to turn to God in prayer. And we too have been saved from death, not physical death, but eternal death. If you look in Romans chapter 5, there in verse 6, Paul says that while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but also exalting God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Paul says we were enemies, we deserved death, and Christ died for us while we were yet enemies and ungodly. He died so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be saved from that eternal death. Again, these benefits that we find there given to the Israelites, we have in an even greater fashion. They were saved from physical death and physical bondage, and we're saved from spiritual death. And just as they were dealt bountifully in being able to return to the land with the wealth that had been taken from them, and even a greater wealth than had been taken from them, we find that the Lord deals bountifully with us as well in this life, and even more so in the life to come. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, in verse 32, as he's speaking with the elders of the church in Ephesus, he says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What greater benefit could there be than, and what greater blessing could there be than to have that inheritance of a child of God? And all of this is given us through the word of his grace. And as we discussed last week, we've received grace that can change us. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10 said, Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." He had been changed from the horrible individual we read in Acts chapter 7 and 8 into the wonderful individual we read of throughout the rest of the New Testament, and providing us with great insight. And most importantly, amongst these benefits that were given to Israel and now to us, we are freed from the bondage of sin. Going back to Romans, if you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Consider that, that while we were slaves of sin, Christ died for us, and we can be freed from that bondage and have that gift of eternal life. And so we find these benefits that were given to the Israelites that the psalmist looks at here in Psalm 116, they continue for us today. And so then the question, when we understand all of the benefits and the blessings that God has given to us, that we have received from him, then we ask the question, what shall I render to the Lord? And so we go back to the 116th Psalm, and we can see from the things recorded by the psalmist what we can render to the Lord, not to repay what he has done, but to show our proper appreciation for all of the blessings and benefits we have from him. And you just go back to the very first verse. He says, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications." Because God has inclined his ear to him, He loves the Lord. And so if we want to render to the Lord something to show our appreciation, to show that we recognize all the benefits and blessings He's given us, then we will love the Lord. John writes in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love because He first loved us. We love because He's shown His love for us in sending His Son to die upon the cross. And we love Him with all that we have. Mark records the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 12 and verse 33, to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. We've talked about this. Love is what matters. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I can do all things that the world would look at as being great and wonderful. I can have a faith such as to be able to move mountains, but if I do not have love, I'm nothing. And so we love the Lord. And as we love the Lord, that will push us to do His will. Those who love Him keep His commandments. If we're not keeping His commandments, then we truly cannot say that we love Him. And if we don't love our brethren, then we can't truly say that we love Him. And not only will I love Him, but I will call upon Him. Going back to verse 2 of Psalm 116. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. Verse 13, I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And later in verse 17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. He says, I'm going to call upon Him for as long as I live because He has dealt bountifully with me. He has shown me wonderful blessings. And so therefore, I'm going to call upon His name. The psalmist writes elsewhere in Psalm 145 and verse 18 that the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord. Remember, Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in that day, and I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. We must call upon Him in truth. Calling upon Him with prayer. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 in the parable of the widow who essentially pestered the judge until she received the justice. He says this is the way he was teaching that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Going back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 again, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your request be made known to God. We need to be turning to God. And perhaps greater than just praying is the idea of calling upon Him and proclaiming Him and pronouncing Him as the Lord. Again, in Psalm 116 and verse 13, He says, I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord is what we find throughout the Scriptures. In several of the songs that we've sung, the idea there of praising God. And we need to do this not only in song when we're gathered together in service, in worship to God, but also throughout our lives. We need to give thanks to Him and make memory of all the things that He's done for us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? This is the idea of recognizing the blessings we have from God, the benefits we have, and we want to tell others about this great and amazing benefit that we received from God. But not only will I call upon Him all of my days, but I will also walk before Him. If you look in Psalm 116 and verse 9, he says, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. It's interesting as you read through the Scriptures to find those individuals who are mentioned of having walked with God. Abraham was mentioned in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. God said to him, walk before me and be blameless. David is one who is referred to as having walked with God. Solomon has this to say about his father, that he walked with God and that he should walk in that way with God as well. And God is making the same plea, that we walk with Him. In fact, Paul uses that idea of walking in our spiritual life. He says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 that we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We find that Paul writing to Thessalonica that they were to walk and please God. John writing in his epistles that he was proud to, or glad to hear that his children, that the children were still walking in the ways of God. What shall I render to God? Well, I will offer praise to Him. I will call upon Him. I will love Him. I will walk with Him, and I will offer to Him. If you look again in Psalm 116, there in verse 17, he says, "To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people." Now, when you look at these two verses together, they basically repeat each other. One, he says, I'm going to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The other, I'm going to pay my vows. Both of them have to do with sacrifice and the things that they should do as Jews. In Hebrews chapter 13, we find that we too are to offer sacrifice to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13, there in verse 15, it says, "Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." We are to give our lives as a sacrifice to God, and we offer up this sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and constantly being mindful of all that God has done. Remember, when we're praying, we're to pray with thankfulness to the Lord for all He has done. When we do good and share with others, the author of Hebrews there says that this is part of serving the Lord. This is sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And as we look in Romans chapter 12, there in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." God has shown amazing benefits to me in freeing me from sin and listening to my prayers and being aware and giving me the freedom from death. So what shall I render to Him? The same things that the Israelites were speaking of rendering when they were freed from their physical bondage and returned to their physical land of Canaan. They expressed their appreciation through service, love, and constant sacrifice. And we should do the same today. May we truly see the great and wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. He's given us salvation from our sins. He's given us salvation from a devil's hell, which is what we deserve because we were unrighteous. But remember, while we were yet enemies, while we were yet unrighteous, Christ died for the ungodly. The payment was made for our sins. And so we've been given freedom from that fear of eternal death. We don't have to fear hell because we can know that there's an inheritance laid up for us if we submit to God and are faithful to His will. May we also see the need to render unto the Lord our lives in humble submission. Again, we don't merit salvation. It's purely by the grace and mercy of God that salvation is available. The way has been made. We have to accept that way. But in light of all that the Lord has done for us, we should willingly render our lives as this sacrifice to Him. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The question for you this morning is, have you recognized, do you appreciate the benefits God has provided? Do you recognize all that God has done, and have you accepted those benefits? You see, He provides them, but He doesn't force them. The way to receive these benefits is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can know this is the gospel of Jesus Christ is simply Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He came to this earth and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And in doing that, He paved the way for us. And we must obey the gospel. And that means we are in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. We must repent of our sins that separate us from God, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then we follow through in that gospel plan where we are buried in baptism. The old man of sin is left behind and we arise a new creature seeking to live eternally with God. Jesus was raised from the grave, never to suffer death again. Raised up into the heavens and remain there throughout all eternity. And we can do the same if we surrender to the will of God. Perhaps you're here and you've recognized the benefits and blessings that come from God. You recognize that He's listening to you, that He cares for you, and that He's provided these wonderful things to you. And you've obeyed the gospel. But like the prodigal son, you've taken those blessings and you've kind of squandered them. And the Israelites did that as well. We see they come back from captivity and they're all about serving the Lord. But later it's more about the politics and the power that we find with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're more concerned with that than with what the Bible actually says. And they're more concerned with following the teachings of man rather than following what the Bible itself actually says. And so you might get caught up in the things of this world and following the teachings of man, and you might have just squandered all these blessings. Well, those blessings, while you're alive, those blessings remain. The Lord will incline His ear to you if you will truly call upon Him and seek forgiveness for the things that you've done. The invitation is offered to you this morning. If you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that while you have the opportunity. If you need to be restored in faithful service to God, we encourage you to do that as well as we stand and as we sing.